part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
Look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's...
This is Jason J. Lewis, the voice of Superman on Justice League Action.
This is Mark Waid, writer of Superman Birdlight, and you're listening to The Krypton Report.
Welcome to the Krypton Report Special Edition Commentary Track. I am your host, Tyler, the Superman of Blue. And with me is my co-host, the Superman of Red, Mr. James Flippin' Cole. Welcome, James.
Hey. What's going on?
You know, it's just a chill day. We decided we were going to do this back in March, but then life happens, you know, and here we are at the start of April. And we will be tackling tonight the final DCEU movie. We have done commentary tracks for just about every DC film by now. There's a few we still haven't done. I think two that would be really crazy to do, that I think if we do them, we need to do them together in the same room, being like, and we need to be drunk. That'd be Jonah Hex and Steel.
You know, as funny as I've never seen Jonah Hex.
I watched it once. That was enough. And I watched it when it first came out, and that was too soon if I ever watch it again. And we will be doing Joker later this year in time for the sequel. So I think that pretty much takes care of all of our commentaries. We never did a commentary for Superman the movie or Superman 2. We did discussions, but we never did commentaries for them.
Right.
But we will be tackling those next year in the year of Superman. So, but hey, I have another little person here with me. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, guys. I am Solomon Patrick. I am from the Godzilla podcast, which is also called Solomon's Godzilla Universe. I still figure out the title, so.
Yeah, you can hear that on our Patreon feed as well. Get some Solomon Godzilla chatting going on. And then in the background, as always, is the ever-present, most amazing movie viewer herself.
I'm Sarah Patrick, and I'm just playing by Barbies. While they're watching a movie, and if I might want to watch a movie, I can too. If I might want to say something about the movie, I might too.
Exactly.
I'm just in the background. Sometimes I might do it with them, but now I'm just in the background.
Yep. It's the best way to watch a movie.
They like the background character in Deadpool 2, I think. I don't know.
So what movie are we watching today, kids?
We're watching Aquaman 2.
The Lost Kingdom.
Yep.
Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
If I want to, but you guys.
Aquaman.
I might collect my Barbies, well.
So, I mean, I have. Yeah, okay, so.
This is like the only debt.
James, how many times have you watched this film?
I have actually only seen it the one time in theaters. I was actually lucky enough to be gifted a digital code by our good buddy Levi.
Yeah, shout out to Levi, the round Superman, our McFarlane Toys hero. I'll let him know that he was mentioned.
As much as I'd love to buy some of these movies as soon as they come out digitally and get the physical later and do a little double dipping sometimes, it's just not feasible, so I hadn't picked this one up yet, and I got the digital code, and I just kind of held on to it, waiting to watch it again with you.
You know what's crazy is, I've only watched this movie the one time when we saw it in theaters. We saw it opening night at 4 o'clock. It was like I got right off work, and we went straight to the theater. Or it was like 5 o'clock or something like that. And Brian saw the showing right after us. And I bought it on digital as soon as it came out. Because I was so pumped, like, because a lot of podcasts were still, like, talking about it, and we started it one night, we got, like, maybe 10 minutes in, and that was it. Like, I'd just been busy and never went back to it. Not that I have anything against it, but I think just with everything that's going on, I really haven't, like, hey, let's watch Aquaman. It's always been, like, other things going on and that I knew you were going to do this recording.
Like, yesterday was my birthday and I'm 7 now.
Yep. So, I look forward to this adventure with you tonight.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to... I've been wanting to rewatch it again and, you know, like I said, we were going to do this, so I just held off on it and...
One thing that I've done, I'll tell you this, is I've done the buy the digital early then buy the physical a little bit later. For example, with Shazam Fury of the Gods, I wanted to get that. I put the 4K in my Amazon cart and I just kind of had it sitting there. And then I watched how one day the price dropped and I was like, and I just kind of kept watching it. And the price dropped to $9.99 one weekend. And I bought it then. And so that's kind of what I've been doing with some of these movies is I'll put them in my cart and just let it sit. And I'll just check it every day to see if the price has dropped. And when the price drops low enough, I'll buy.
I mean, you know what? These days, you got to be smart with your money. So...
Yeah, I mean, like the 4K Blue Beetle right now is at $17.99. If it drops a little bit more, I'll buy that because I do want the physical Blue Beetle.
Yeah. Well, I loved Blue Beetle, so I definitely bought that digital copy.
Yes.
You know?
Same here. I just, like I said, I just never got around to it. But hey, we are going to be watching Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom from our digital copy. James will be watching his. It is available on HBO Max. So that is another plus that we kind of waited for, is so that if anybody actually did want to watch with our discussion, they could. Are you all queued up, James?
Yep. I'm at all zeros, black screen.
All right. So let me check this out real quick. It's always a little bit more tricky with the digital copies, making sure that it's all zeros.
Well, this sucker starts right away.
Yeah. So mine's starting. Okay. So hold on. I'm trying to get it to where. Okay. I'm at all zeros. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
So we're going to go 1, 2, 3, start. So basically we're starting on 4. It's all lethal weapon thing. Ready? 1, 2, 3, play. So I'm going to use... Okay. We are at 3, 4, 5 seconds. Warner Brothers Pictures underwater.
Warner Brothers Discovery Company.
I know, it's weird how it says that on top.
Yeah.
Got the Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman,
Aquaman, Cyborg.
And can we just throw out that the Aquaman doesn't look like Momoa?
Not in that close up, but when it kind of pans out with the full thing, the silhouette kind of does.
Now, this is different. Dominion Entertainment. Like, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, Domain Entertainment. Oh, yeah.
Domain. I can't read.
People are fighting.
It's okay. Sometimes, you know, you can't read. It's all right. Okay, we don't judge you.
I think it's fascinating how, like when I watch a digital copy a lot of times or streaming, how the film will fill up my entire TV. But then if I watch the 4K Blu-ray, it goes to the standard like letterbox ratios.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Unless it's one of those where it switches the format, much like The Dark Knight. Okay, so... Here we got Aquaman riding Storm, a seahorse, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, so this is, I mean, these people are hijacking a ship, and he appears.
And like, I have a feeling that this whole sequence was a full sequence and not part of a montage.
Yes. I agree, too. And this is part of the fun of the commentary. Is I feel like this was a whole big action piece. Okay, so we have a needle drop.
Born to be Wild by Steppenwolf.
Which is hilarious. And then look, the cut to he's telling the story.
With action figures. Like, it's really cute with the child and everything, but...
And he's also fighting.
I kind of, like... I have a... It's like a love-hate thing, because... I like that it's kind of like him telling the story, so like he can make it sound cooler than what it was, you know? Kicking his dad, that's awesome. Sorry, Pops.
Just the difference in the look of the scene. Every time it cuts back to him telling the story, it just looks like it was filmed differently. It doesn't have the same saturation that the rest of the film does.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's almost quite obviously a reshoot.
Peed in the mouth. Pete, what dad hasn't been peed on while changing a diaper?
Yep.
Okay, so him, the laundry part right here, okay. To me, that's a little campy. Okay. Like, him sitting on the throne right there looked good.
Yeah.
Warm right here looks pretty cool.
Earlier in the fighting scene,
you get him on the throne shot there, and we'll look at the other throne shots.
Yeah, like this one right here where he's watching the Brian King.
Yeah. It looks different.
The lighting is really right. There's pictures like that's online of like right here how he wakes up and he's clapping. Woo, yeah. Like this whole thing right here, this council feels like a huge subplot that was ejected from this film. Like that shot right there of him, that was a reshoot. And then right here, this. The curfew.
That is funny though. That I do like the married life kind of thing there.
I agree. But I mean, it doesn't really feel like him and Amber Heard were in a shot together. Like, it'd be very easy to film them separate. And as I said, that opening battle, like, feels like it wasn't montage.
You know, the opening battle when he was fighting.
Mm-hmm.
when he was fighting the people on the boat. I saw someone punch someone in the guts.
This is, I think, just was Jason just goofing off behind the scenes. They're like, get a camera on this.
Yeah. Like, he's even looking at the camera at the end of that shot.
I just feel the Guinness.
And then the fridge full of Guinness. I mean, I'd love my fridge to look like that. But still.
It's just more Momoa put in, you know, than Arthur. But, I mean, like, why? Like, they're in the garage. Like, compared to being in the house, makes me almost wonder if this was, like, almost reshoots. Like, it'd be very easy for
this. Like, they didn't have the set of the house to shoot in.
Yeah, because, or like, they didn't have the set of the house, and they had, like, a bunch more, like, Mira and him in the house, and they decided to make this kind of, like, the man cave hangout.
Well, this is the same place that that he was telling the story. To the for the fight scene at the very beginning.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's all in like I said, the man cave. I mean, so I love Tamara Morrison in his speech right here. I think he's a great actor. And then what was your thought of, like, the needle drop of Born to Be Wild?
Well, I mean, you know, I love the song. It does kind of fit for the characterization. I just don't feel like it was supposed to be that cut into a montage, you know?
Right. Like, I don't know. It felt awkward. Like, you know how I feel about needle drops sometimes, where I feel like it takes me out of the movie? Depending on the film.
Well, you know, growing up in the 90s and everything, like, needle drops was like, what's on the movie soundtrack? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it was always like music of the time that really I felt like really fit the tone of the film. If it had been a cover, you know, maybe it would have been different, a little bit more harder edge.
Yeah, well, I mean, Warner Brothers tried to change the tone of every film that came out, so forcing reshoots so that way
And now the ice is
to change the initial tone of the film.
Yeah, I mean, this movie was done like I still think this is more enjoyable. And now you have
Aquaman, the Lost Kingdom.
I like the title reveal though, because it's very of the movie, the ice caps melting and falling off into the ocean.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Well, like this one got reshoots and was screen tested and like was supposed to come out earlier than what it was. And I love that they carried over and kept the same Black Manta theme.
Yeah.
Giant orca.
He just looks mad. Look at that scar on his face. His manta outfit.
You know what? That kind of does suck.
I mean,
you know how good he looked in the first one, I was like, man, like the suit's perfect. Like in this one, it's even better. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
I like Randall Park. So I like that he's in here. I like how, like, he was never even called David Kane in the first film.
Nope.
Why is it so?
Oh, sarcasm.
Why?
Because he's working for, you know, David Kane. Who's scary. He looks nice and warm.
Everyone looks nice and warm.
Yeah, you're right, Solomon. Everyone does look nice and warm.
Probably.
This poor guy here.
They're probably.
I mean, they're both wearing red parkas. So that's like red shirting it up right there.
Yeah, that's probably why they're wearing red.
You know what? This just sucks.
That would suck.
Like, next time you knew it, you just drop in a hole. Ow!
You're in a cave. In the cold.
Oof.
He's got snow on his face. That makes my face feel cold.
Right?
Of course, the other guy's like, I got a broken leg. And that's just, that right there just says, yep, you're dead. Yelps in pain. The red flare is awesome visually.
I recognize the
red. Yeah, that's what do you call it? That's Asian Jim, guys.
Oh.
We're big Office fans here, so Asian Jim.
This will suck.
Guess Randall Parks or Dr. Shin's lucky he got up and moved. Otherwise, that snow tractor would have fell right down on him.
Exactly. Yes. Dr. Shin's a good dude. This is crazy right here. That just looks like an evil snake thing. That is just like one ugly looking tentacle.
Yeah.
Like it's a tentacle that looks like it's going to eat you. Okay.
Yeah, it's mean grabbing him the way it did.
See, I think this would have been a neat way to open the film with this. Then you pull him into the dark. And then you cut to Aquaman. talking. Could have been an interesting way of opening the film with this kind of action set piece like this. Because I do feel like that on the boat was not just...
Well, interesting bit is why Dr. Shin didn't get taken as well.
That's a good question. Maybe because it just only had one thing that popped out and...
That probably got its meal and moved on.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That is cool. That's pretty crazy.
Wow.
Look at that, the birds.
You guys know how much...
Thank God for global warming.
Some of you guys...
He's definitely the bad guy.
Some of you guys who ever watched my YouTube channel... I mean, my podcast of Godzilla. You guys know that I have a theory for the next Godzilla movie.
Yeah, you do.
We know that, dude. Hey,
I mean, could you imagine going down there?
Dude, even with those wetsuits, like, I know they're supposed to be, like, more advanced, but how cold is that water?
Cool. Oh, man. I don't even want to think about it.
Literally ice water.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the water, like...
It's like got to be insulated to a degree where, you know, like it keeps you separated from the water.
Yeah. Like you shouldn't even feel wet. See, I wish that we would have focused this more on the Lost Kingdom. That's cool.
Yeah. The idea of the Lost Kingdom is a pretty cool, like, concept, and the way that, like, the Lost Kingdom is frozen and revealed in this movie is pretty awesome.
I agree. And I wish we would have spent more time on... I really feel like there's, like I said, the subplot of, like, the council trying to, you know, overthrow Arthur. And then they probably just like, you know what, we don't want to get that political or something and just were like, abandon it. Because if you really... They're like in, what, two scenes? I feel like those are something you could cut out quick and easy. Because they don't really serve a purpose at all in this movie.
Yeah, I definitely feel that, because the way James Wan made the first one, I think that he would have done something very similar in this one.
See, this is interesting.
Putting in as much as he can with the idea that, you know, not going to be able to make another one.
Right, filling out more of Atlantis in its world. I kind of wish, like, instead of him putting it together like this, I like how many shots there are of, like, footage from the first movie in this movie. Like, oh, we need to fill time. Throw in clips from the first movie if they didn't see it. Now, this is cool. Him standing in, like, with all the creatures. Burning the lighthouse.
Yeah. I didn't peg that for a dream sequence
in the trailer was done differently.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're still in.
Kind of makes me feel it that maybe it was different. And they utilized it to shortcut part of the story.
5 months later. You could have even done that whole thing with him, like, and opened the movie with Shin and made it like a prologue, kind of like, you know, Nolan, and then done, like, when it cut here to black is when you go to the whole Arthur and the baby stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, my problem is it's all Arthur and Arthur Jr. Like, where is Mira? Where's his mom? Like, I really thought his mom, well, there's Mira.
His mom is in Atlantis.
But, like, I'm just saying, like, it's, I'm saying, but I figured his mom would assume more of the Volko role, since Volko's not there.
Yeah, and where is Volko?
He died off camera. And that's not even a subplot that gets addressed more. We don't even see the Atlantean suffering. Because...
And what the heck are these people?
See, it's just... What, baby? I can't hear you say that. See, that looks like a reshoot. No. See, like, how are you going to do the first move? There's not even a council referenced. Like, if you would have said, like, after Orm's behavior, they formed the council or something. But it just feels like this is very wedged in here. It just looks so much brighter right here.
Yeah. It's some of this movie can be jarring, you know?
See, I feel like that's just like, are you seeding for a third film? You know what I'm saying? Like, or it'd be like the surface versus Atlantis type thing. Like, and then there, he's right back to the house instead of being in Atlantis with his kid. So are they hiding Arthur so no one knows that he was born? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. Kind of like he was hidden.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, and like I was saying earlier, is it's always him and the baby and his dad. You know? It's almost like you're telling a story of two single dads. But he's not. You know? And then where, you know, there's not really discussion about Arthur's mom,
so,
who you think would be there with Arthur's dad, but yeah, Thomas.
Yeah, thankfully, Aquaman's dad married a sea woman.
Yep.
And then Arthur came.
Yep.
Ultimate real
name.
Yep. You all know that.
Easy, son. But see, like, this type of dialogue right here about between him and his dad, this is the kind of dialogue of, like, in a movie where someone, like, really honors somebody, sets you up that he's going to die. And I truly believe that he died. But they had to edit it and change it. And I'll point it out as we go.
So, I mean, just Tamar Morrison looks different in these shots in the house of them talking than in the shots in the garage.
Yeah.
Like in Blue Beetle when Moraes' dad died.
Yeah. Maybe they're just like, we can't have two movies back to back with dads dying. We're DC, you know, where parents are not safe. Especially when Geoff Johns is around.
Right.
He's a writer, baby. He's a good writer, but he just liked killing off parents. Somewhere in the Atlantic.
What, the North Sea?
Got an ancient submarine.
That still works. Better than stuff that we have now.
They don't build things like they used to.
And then look, like he already like repaired his mask.
Yep, he's got a new helmet, new suit.
I think he should have found the trident together and kind of mirrored how Aquaman got his trident in the first film. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what's cool is these would have been fun sets to be on.
Right.
It kind of reminds me of like some of the stuff you can go like the science museums or children's museums almost. Like, because look how much space that is. Like, that is a huge bridge.
That's a giant set, yeah.
I wish there was a Black Manta costume or something.
Yeah, that's a sweet Black Manta costume. Like, if they made one. Surprised they didn't make like a kid's helmet.
Means he's been with Black Manta for over a year and a half, close to 2 years.
See, the one thing is, like, I thought about this, like, I like that he has the trident, don't get me wrong, and that gives him strength, but I hate the idea, like, he's basically possessed, you know, so it's not even him really being the bad guy, he's just being a pawn, you know, he has this knowledge and everything, he's basically being possessed by the bad guy.
Right.
And it's like, does being possessed like that diminish him as a villain and as the ultimate, you know, evil authority? Or does it lessen him? Or should there have been like another character that was technically possessed, like the girl, as his right wing person? He was using her and her knowledge or something, and we saw like how it was killing her, but he kept pushing it or something, just to make it a little bit more like seeing his behavior and his obsession.
Right.
Oh, this is cool how the way these things work. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I forgot what my initial thoughts were on it when we talked on our review. I usually don't like the possession angle, especially from like your primary antagonist.
Right.
You know, like one way that it worked really well was when Hawkeye was possessed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he was possessed, but he wasn't your primary antagonist. He just became a very dangerous foe.
Yeah, and he was technically a good guy, you know what I'm saying, that then, you know, at the end has his turn to go fight. This is cool.
There's Topo. Or a Calcum storage vault.
I mean, I
think probably hasn't been open in 2,000 years.
Yeah. I like this movie, and I enjoyed it, you know, and I'm enjoying it now. It's fun. I feel like it's a little bit more playful than the first movie.
It's definitely got a more environmentally conscious message.
Which I'm fine with. I mean, I just think they could have done a little bit better. Like, kind of, if I was doing the environmental and conscious, like, I would have focused more on seeing Atlanteans dying. and having that, like what killed Vulko. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. I need an extraction now. I don't know, I just think they're coming a little bit more.
One thing I like you don't get to see all that often anymore is like your henchmen in matching uniforms.
I know. This is cool. Going to the Kingdom of Atlantis, like we saw in the first movie, but how much, you know, more guarded did you feel it was in the first movie than it is here?
Oh, absolutely. Like in this one, they take out like one gun and like, that's it. Like it's like their wall defenses are obliterated when they take out one gun. And in the last one, there was like, the wall had multiple guns covering it. That's the only gun you see.
Yeah. See, like, look. It's not a... No, Sayla. No.
Oh, there's a second one. Saw a second gun back there.
I would have liked it better if, like, just the tech was almost unseen. Because it was older tech. Kind of like the idea of analog versus digital. Those poor people that were just waiting to go to Atlantis that are now burning.
But they shot at one of the wall guns and they just strolled right in.
Yeah.
I mean, it was definitely a bigger threat. A lot more defenses in the first one.
See, now here we go. Here's Mira and Atlantis. Big scene, right? And I just feel like Atlanta, you know, who's the queen who came back, who wasn't dead, who's like the queen, not the queen regent, it's called the shoot, I can't remember what the term is right now, not dowry queen, maybe
that sucks. I just
feel like she should be like I said, Volko's role, but I'm like, she should have a bigger role in this movie, and it just makes me feel like maybe some of her stuff was cut because of when her scenes took place.
Right. I mean, yeah, you know my thoughts on it. Like, I'm not one of those people who says if a movie's 90 minutes, it's all the better for it, you know? I love world building. I love
the quiet character moments.
Yeah, I like the quiet character moments. I like that stuff. So if a movie is 2.5 hours and you give me things like that, I'm usually pretty interested. And I enjoy it more for that because it's more of the world that I'm trying to immerse myself in. So when a movie feels like there should have been more or there was more and they cut it down because they said it has to be 2 hours and, you know, they shortcut things and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, it's
it detracts from the film for me.
I feel like I lose substance.
Yeah.
I mean, that was cool how he shot her right there into that statue.
Yeah. His beams are wicked in this.
I thought that was like, oh, and that's how they got rid of Amber Heard.
Yeah, I thought she was going to be incapacitated after that.
I'm going to kill me a dead man. See, I think it's interesting. Why does he take it apart? You know? This part's interesting. Your wife? It's kind of funny, but at the same time, I don't know how I feel about it, but whatever. I just roll with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the biggest culprits, in my opinion, of shortchanging a film and cutting it down into a montage moment is actually the first Avenger. Like, after he saves Bucky and everybody, like, it's literally just a montage of his entire time in the war until the end.
And we never went back and visited it. Like, I thought, okay, well, maybe we'll go into the second one and we'll get clips that kind of fill in, like flashbacks, you know, that fill in. That was before we knew the story of the second one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, like, I discussed, like, should he have went into the ice at the end of the first movie and left that kind of as a mystery, knowing that that's what's going to happen eventually or something, like, I don't know. But yeah, the whole him taking down Hydra, like all the stuff that Captain America did was in that montage.
Yeah. Yeah. It was literally his entire time in the war was in a 3-minute montage.
And then the next scene is when we lose Bucky.
Yeah, it's like Captain America, he saved the people, yada yada yada, and then he took down Hydra. Like that's how the movie went.
So we have her complaining about Arthur and what the king is doing. So I feel like that's a whole subplot that was dropped. Cole Kidman looks rough in this. I said she looks rough. It's all that time she spent at AMC.
She's getting older, you know.
Yeah, but
it eventually older. Catches up with everybody, you know.
Except Tom Cruise. Nah, it's getting him too.
I was gonna say it's getting him too. It eventually hit Paul Rudd. It hit Keanu Reeves. It hit Nicole Kidman, and it hit Tom Cruise. All four of them look like they never would, like they've never aged, and then all of a sudden, boom.
Dude, 2020 like aged all of us 5 years in 1 year.
Right. Sometimes I feel like at least 7.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I'm 45 now.
See, I think I would have liked it better if the thing was Arthur had this plan to go after him and the council were all against him. They were like, wouldn't allow him to use the army. They were trying to overthrow him as king. So. You know what I'm saying? So he had to do this because the only person he could get on his side was Orm. Because he needed to. You know what I'm saying? I do like that.
Yeah.
Doing something, actually getting things done.
I like that too. I mean, I think that's a commentary on politics, you know?
Yeah.
Even modern day politics.
Spirit in the Sky has to be like the cheapest song ever. It is in so much crap. It was in the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be almost free, the royalties for it. Because it's another needle drop in this, and I'm just like, ugh. Boys Extra
Medium. Boys Extra Medium.
Okay, I will have to point out the camouflage suit's sweet, but like, how does it camouflage the parts of him that's not wearing a suit?
And then, like I said, and he had to mention it's for only a minute, but he can apparently use it an unlimited amount of times.
Yep.
And there's no like time limit in between when he can use it and when not. Like, there's no recharge.
See, I wish they would have done like with Momoa in this one to give him a different look, tighten up his beard and cut and like have his hair cut. Like, I know the long hair is kind of his thing, but like, or keep it like pulled back more to give him more of like a different look.
His ink pens.
These are some crazy, creepy, like, they remind me of like Peter Jackson creations. The same thing with like the green people. Like, they make me think of some sort of Peter Jackson thing. He looks great. The emaciated one.
Yeah.
The long hair helps.
They did a really good job with the emaciated look on him.
What do you think, Solomon? He looks warm, looks good being small. Get your headphones, buddy. See, he looks sweet right here in the, like, the invisible suit. I almost want to like pull out a stopwatch. I think he should have had a mask. See, I like that. Like, Orm's an honorable person, and that was like important to set him up.
What does that mean?
I think it's brother in Spanish. I still think you should have a mask.
I'm like, is Topo dead?
Topo's sweet.
Yeah.
This would have been a sweet set to be on, too. T He just like, did you bring water? And he said, I drank it all. That's not cool. Poor Orm looks so rough.
It's kind of the way the monster looking things from Doom.
You think so?
Alright. Sorry.
No,
Allura's first night away from me, and she's having a hard time.
I understand that. This reminds me of like a Star Wars scene.
They're very much like the lizard that Obi Kenobi rides.
Yes.
On what's that planet with when he goes after General Grievous?
Yeah.
It almost sounds like it too.
It's on Genosis or Genosis, and then it digs. That's pretty sweet.
And then it turns into a graboid from Tremors.
Yeah. And then they're in the desert.
It was like Papa, a Dune Earthworm.
Now we're on Arrakis. Good job, Simon. See, that's a cool shot, just because you're in the desert right there. But it's set up that water's just over the ridge. I'm gonna go on the Orm diet.
Let's go skinny jeans.
See, now he's not okay. Now he's invisible. Like, he's gotta keep his identity. So this was a part in the theater I was watching. I was like, kind of like watching him like run and move, and I'm like, okay, it's because he's weak, right? I like how he fell. I was like, okay, we're gonna make this extra traumatic. Oh, the tide.
A wave.
This is like some Lou Ferrigno to the Hulk crap right here.
Right. It's Bill Bixby to Lou Ferrigno change. Not quite that much.
It would have been better if like he just came out and his pants were like all super ripped. Like, it didn't fit at all. I like Patrick Wilson, so we'll get him on.
Me too. I need to watch Insidious The Red Door. He directed that.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest reasons I went to see it, honestly. I just needed to get out of the house, and I wanted to see what he... It's more of a drama with a horror element than it is a horror movie. But I think he did pretty well. And it's pretty cool that was like his directorial debut.
Right.
So what do you think about the stealth suit? What do you think?
I mean, him and James Wan are good friends.
I like it. I like the...
So Solomon and I, like, and Jania and Zayla, we've been watching all of Face Off.
Okay.
The old show that used to be out there. And the last episode we watched was a contest sponsored by James Wan for Insidious 2.
Ooh.
And it was just cool to see James Wan. And I was like telling Solomon, like, it's my favorite director. He directed Aquaman.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. The first thought of what's he doing?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, all right.
See, I didn't even consider it in this moment. I noticed it. I noticed him running, like, I was like, well, maybe he's just, you know, still recovering.
Right. That was my thought, too. But I was like, that's just kind of odd. It wasn't until we get on land. Solomon, I'll bring it up again. Solomon is a killer run like Orm impression. He knows how to do it. Really? A million years.
Calling me one in a million. the worst one, one out of a million.
I'll allow this. It feels right.
What?
Their conversation about like using comedy to de-stress. Yeah, I almost had an incident where I was caught in a tornado on Tuesday, like legit, and I was actually scared because I couldn't really move, and I was messaging Jania, and I sent her the gif of Jonathan Kent in Man of Steel with the hand in the air, and she was pissed at me. So yeah, I use comedy to mask, you know, my feelings of fear and stress.
Oh, really? Yeah, I'm sure your wife didn't appreciate you talking about dying in a tornado.
No, she did not. Not one bit.
That's so cool looking, though, the way this, the from the inside, coming up out of the water.
Mm-hmm. Ancient or Calcum refinery.
I love how those are like their work machines, they're like submersibles, they're all kinds of stuff.
I like the hips that things give you with those pads and wetsuits. See, that's one thing. That's more of David Kane right there. See, I think David Kane's evil enough as himself. I don't need the possession angle. Like, just let him be him. It would suck more if it was possessing Dr. Shin, because we see he's a genuinely good person who just wants to learn about Atlantis.
Yeah, you're free to go, but that's where you get to leave. I mean, that's not much of a choice.
Yeah. What would you do, Salma? Would you stay or would you try to, you know, run through the woods?
I mean, he really only gives you one choice. It's not the it's not a real choice, you know?
Yeah, it's the illusion of choice.
Mm-hmm.
Probably run through the woods. Might be dead, but I don't care.
That's cool. Pirates under the sea.
No. Beginning of the first movie, he took down a crew of pirates, kind of why Black Man is after him. Hammerhead sharks.
I like that. Put a hook in it. It's like his sling, you know. So I put a fork in it. Put a hook in it.
Yeah.
I always think it's weird in movies when they try to do stuff like this. Like it works in Star Wars, but like I feel like sometimes it's when you try to do too much of like, oh, this is their cantina or their bar, their band. Like, it's like, it can go too far to where it's not fun and serious anymore. Like, I like the shark guys right here. They're better looking than what King Shark was. Do you like him, Solomon?
What?
The shark guys.
Yeah.
I've never looked up, but who's older, Momoa or Wilson?
Yeah, for the actors, I don't know.
All right, I'm gonna look. I want to say Patrick Wilson is. Right, Patrick Wilson was born in 73. Momoa was born in 79. So yeah, Patrick Wilson is older.
Yeah.
I do think it's weird, I'm gonna throw this out there, that Arthur's not wearing Atlantean clothing here, like even like clothes like Orm is wearing. He's wearing just regular surface clothes. Because I mean, I know he's Aquaman, but surface clothes does not do well in water. You ever jump in a pool or fall in the water wearing jeans? Like, I know he did it in the first movie, don't get me wrong, but
yeah, the pressure would just, it would just be matted down onto his body.
You know, I feel like, that's another thing. I feel like
wouldn't be baggy and flowy.
I feel like the clothes that Orm wears is built for being in water.
Fine, and flex your muscles.
You know, it would be made to withstand the pressure and everything of being underwater. Right, just some cotton pants would shred and tear up. Wow, it's so weird. Like certain scenes in this, like this right here, looks more unreal than in the first movie. I like this. The reverse of sucking the water out.
Yeah.
That's one way to get
it. Yeah. Wonder if they got that idea from SpongeBob. SpongeBob and Patrick go into Sandy's place with a fish bowl of, with a bowl of water on their heads.
See, like, I could do without this. Yeah, that's not scary at all.
Yeah. Because, you know, Black Manta is going to talk to his possessed, you know, his possession.
Out loud.
Out loud and with the door wide open, you know?
Yes.
I definitely feel like there were more horror elements in the first one.
Yes.
Although some of the monsters on this island, the mutated creatures, are a little horror-esque.
Oh, wait, hold on just a minute. Go, Topo, go. Back to the water, buddy.
Yes, back to the water.
Right here, the cheeseburger or the Guinness.
I like that.
He's not wrong right there. Now this, I have to laugh because this is such a brother thing.
Yeah.
Kind of is.
I mean, basically it is.
But shrimp is delicious.
Yeah. I've never had a cockroach.
Yeah, I haven't either. I don't plan on it.
No.
That's actually a large cockroach. See, this is interesting how the melons...
You first.
I like how even Orm knew that was not good.
Yeah.
See, I feel like this is a whole thing right here. Like, this whole island and what it's doing. It almost kind of feels like Justice League, where, like, the apocalypse and stuff was remaking the world.
Right.
Hey, look, it's the DC version of Marvel.
Yeah. Or it's like, what's the island? It's not Dinosaur Island, right?
It's just like Mysterious Island.
Yeah. I just feel like there's so much more of this island.
Whoa.
Giant. See, I feel like the whole thing with like the Orichalcum changing everything like this is a whole different subplot. I don't want to miss this part, Simon.
I mean, that would be creepy.
Oh my god, beyond.
Tons of monstrous grasshoppers.
Here we go. The great running scene. That he's so good at.
Like this? He was not expecting him to be able to run. Run like that.
Run like Orm.
Yeah, right?
See, like that crowbar. This reminds me of one of my favorite scenes in the first Aquaman, where he doesn't move the kid from the bell, he just jumps and hits the bell.
Right. Well, I think in all honesty, it's probably the safer bet.
It is.
True King builds bridges.
See, I don't believe that Arthur's clothes would be Arthur's clothes would be that dry that fast.
Very tough. Just time went for the label.
It's like, and if we're gonna die, might be the last moment.
Quick, Solomon, take over while I grab you something. Keep talking.
You have headphones.
Wow. So long, sucker.
Just one punch. Send that one grasshopper down.
Wow.
I don't know if they'd survive that fall.
Yeah. And now he just saved his beak.
We have to stop burning it. All the different helmets that he made.
Yep.
It would have been cool if they were, if they each had a little different design to them.
Yeah.
Multiple helmets. Ready? Time to crack a cold one. Not Guinness. Coke Zero Sugar.
I wish I had either or.
See, I think this is interesting. See, I missed this part in theater. I had to take Salma to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah? Where he gets to see what's going to happen?
Maybe I saw this part. I don't know. I just remember when it told more of the backstory, I missed it. Maybe I saw this part. See, I think it's interesting how it doesn't stay. Like, you have to keep pushing it back together.
Yeah, that's interesting with the trident.
See, I like the idea in this film. I'm sad that we didn't get the storyline of like him befriending and kind of seducing an Atlantean woman. And getting into Atlantis that way, thus, you know, making the way for Aqualad, Jackson Hyde / Cowder.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think that would have been the better.
Right there with him with the green eyes, like he's not even holding the trident. Like, I just don't like the possession angle.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure if the possession angle was necessary, you know? Like, him just getting the trident and you know, having just having in the trident and having him, you know, release the lost kingdom, so that way he has an army to rival Atlantis.
Yeah. I love this dialogue between them, other than him calling him Loki. Like the whole roasted. See, I love it because you're actually getting to see Orm more for him. You're getting to see how they were both. Because I mean, we talked about how much, you know,
Xerxes, or not Xerxes, Orvax was so much of the villain in the first film, and he's not even in the movie. And you're seeing how much that that affected Orm. That
I think, I mean, the best part of this movie is the brother angle.
Yes.
Of the film, working together contentiously, and then getting to a point here where, like, everything Orm was raised to believe, is not true. Exactly. You know, that Arthur would come to take the throne from him, that Arthur would want to be king, that, you know, they were mortal enemies. Everything he was brought up to believe is not remotely the case.
Their thighs look like Oompa Loompas. Their thigh hips and those pants.
Yeah, they're absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, other than that, the costumes look pretty cool, though.
I mean, Aquaman is basically Superman underwater, you know? I mean, the way he stopped that huge train from going off and killing a whole bunch of more people.
To a point, I love this scene. I love this.
Yeah. Just did not want you to break me in half before I could surrender. No, wait, please. I didn't want any of it. All I wanted I like Dr. Shin's characterization in the movies here.
Yes.
Because in the comics, his characterization is a bit of an asshole.
Yes.
No. Ooh. Ow.
Oh.
Ugh, it's a massive spill. Honestly, I never felt heat like that.
She's been, I mean, this, her stingray, is she in the comics?
Like I'm pretty sure she is.
That's something I need to look up, because I mean, she reminds me of like a Mercy Graves type character.
I'm pretty sure that she is at some point, not like a regular, but somebody who has worked for Manta before.
That was cool. Bounced him up before. That's cool. Well, if that was her, she's gone now. All that talk, and she's...
No.
This is cool.
I'm surprised it wasn't the Wilhelm scream.
For real. I was watching the movie the other day, and the Wilhelm scream came out, and Janine was like, I heard it!
Yeah?
I was watching Hacksaw Ridge.
Ah.
Kids love it. They love it. They love looking for the Wilhelm scream in the movies.
Oh yeah, it's everywhere.
I think it's a necessity. Any type of big action movie like this, it doesn't need to be in a serious movie, but like something like this, yes. Go, Orm, go.
I think it was a Godzilla movie. I think
it was. That's a pretty cool long shot, him running from the...
Oh, and then him getting punched. I like it. It's like...
And Arthur just one-hands it.
Dang, third arm.
Got the triumphant music that's cut off with the quickness. So let me then stop using it.
This is sweet. I'm alive.
Yeah.
The anchor.
I like that he gets to... Because Ocean Master Orm's a pretty awesome character.
He is.
And he's pretty comparable to Aquaman in a lot of ways. So you know, to get to see him do some of the big strong stuff too is pretty awesome.
He ain't no chump, that's for sure.
Yep.
Now Mantis shows up. This is cool. The red eyes.
Yeah.
I love... This is great. This is great physical gravity. See, look. He's always carrying it in two pieces. I say, like...
Well, that's practically a Hulk maneuver.
Yeah.
If only he'd have used it as like a big old boxing glove.
I still think Aquaman should have lost his hand in this movie. I don't know if everybody expected it to happen, but it should have happened.
Oof.
This is what I need to see. Maybe.
I think we get to see it when he gets to explaining the whole thing.
That's why I think that's what I missed.
Giant starfish ships.
He looks sweet. Look at him, doll. That's a cool shot with the half above, half below.
Yeah. I like how they're planning on taking down the whole mountain, taking down the whole reactor.
Good old Topo. This is like some blowing up the Death Star stuff right here. I like how they're on the sub. I didn't even realize they were on the sub. It's just that big.
Well, I definitely think they made their way to the sub. Because they weren't on the sub initially, like when they were where Dr. Shin was.
Yeah. Makes me want to go swim. I need to get some Aquaman like swim trunks.
Yeah, right.
I feel like Aquaman beach wear, like trunks, sandals, like all that stuff, like should have been great promotion tie-ins. Like to me, this especially the first movie felt more like such like a summer movie, like just with the water and everything. But it was released in December. So weird.
Definitely.
Solomon's like Aquaman in the water. Super powerful. Quick. I didn't expect this.
Mira's a beast, though.
I like, look at her feet. Like, how her boots are kind of like flippers. I've seen that a couple times when they're, like, in water. Like swimming, how they're, it becomes more like flippers than when they're walking.
I love John Reese Myers.
Oh, I know. See, I think Momoa looks better like that. Like with his beard more at the point with his hair slicked back.
Yeah.
A little bit more like the comic. Here we go.
I like how his bandages are like seaweed wraps.
Alright, this is what I missed.
It's just so...
I love backstory like this. But that is such a Mordorian look.
Yeah.
See, I think there could have been a much stronger story. Of brother versus brother here.
Yeah. Makes me wonder if this was meant to be a montage as well.
Or like this could have been an opening. Dude, I would have took this kind of like, you know, Hellboy 2. Where he's telling the story of the Golden Army.
Right.
It was like an opening prologue. Could have opened with like the fall of Necrus right here. Just kind of this big opening.
Big old war scene.
Yeah.
It's And that's not even where the trident was chopped in half. And he's warming the planet. Some of the movie is just so jarring to watch, like not anything there or the scene before, just the change in the coloring, the saturation, the brightness.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Like,
this is a great
scene. And that's something that Warner Brothers, they just couldn't stop, you know? They couldn't stop themselves from reshooting and reshooting and reshooting until things were just... They didn't even look the same in one movie.
Okay, so let's look at this. Okay. That dialogue is given. And a helmeted character.
Oh yeah, it could have easily been ADR dubbed.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They just went back and like changed it, you know what I'm saying, afterwards. They could have. The slow-mo right there feels weird and jarring. Everybody just saying no is weird. She's bringing diapers, man. Some baby food. Come on.
I guess when your plan's to kill an infant, I don't care about food or diapers, huh?
This is where Stephen Shen knows that this has gone too far. See, like right here, look. The medics have stabilized his condition.
Said by a person off screen.
Yeah.
Still awesome how they made the green and orange work, though.
Yes.
As a super suit.
See, like, all that stuff that's on him is all CG.
Yeah, that box sitting next to him is probably not even real.
Yeah, I don't think it is. So I really believe that he died, and they just tweaked the footage. Is it probably tested too bad?
That's gonna be the easy part.
See, look how they all have like flippers.
Yeah, makes you wonder about the differences in others, like the oh yeah, because you can't put an axe in your back.
It's gotta be a lot closer. It makes me wonder if like they're flippers, but like when they go on dry land, like it folds down into more of a boot.
Mm.
When they're in water, like it expands up.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, because, you know, like in the first one, they talk about how the royals are the only ones who can breathe air.
Yeah.
How everybody else still needs to breathe water, and that's how the soldiers, why they're in their uniforms with water inside of them and everything. And you got Orm and Aquaman swimming around and shooting through the water the way they do. But then so many others are riding on things and driving things, and then they've got the flippers and stuff.
Bag the child. That's a creepy. You know when I hear about a funny thing in language, when you have a baby, like James, you have a baby.
Yeah.
When you put the baby down, it's much a different expression than when you put the dog down.
Right.
What'd you just do? I put the baby down. Okay. If I say I put the dog down, completely different thing.
Yeah. There, it's a much sadder thing.
Yes.
Every time Jamie says she's going to put the baby down, I say, you're short, your belly button sticks out too far. And you're a terrible burden on your poor mother.
good call.
Right?
look at that wave. I'm cold just watching this. See, like, this one makes sense to release in December. It's all cold.
Yeah, all the ice. This is really cool.
Williams.
You know, they use echolocation. I wonder if you had that many whales, if all their echolocation was concentrated on one spot, if it would do something like this. It just makes me curious.
I agree with you. I wonder as well. The whales say suck it.
Yeah, they do. That's what they're saying right now.
Suck it.
Just in a very sing-song type way.
Yeah. Solomon's even saying it too. He's using his whale powers. He's like, give him some whale powers.
And that whole group of people, everybody's dead.
That's the sad part.
Like, exploded, like, exploded the whole bridge and sunk a submarine.
Necros.
Dr. Shin's catchphrase, astounding.
That just looks cool.
It's at least the third time he said it in the movie.
You should be like, outstanding.
That's what I was thinking.
I mean,
look at or that. No, I was thinking Aquaman's outrageous from Brave and the Bold.
I mean, that would have been so easy to get slip in here, especially with Momoa's more playful nature in this movie. But that's outrageous. It's like going to the underwater Mordor. I mean, the Necro stuff is sweet. Like, it is very much. Like I said, it just reminds me of very Peter Jackson. That's so cool.
You spineless worms. Oof. It's like a swarm. I don't think I still think the trench looked better in the first one.
Yeah. That's a cool shot right there with the doors.
Yeah.
Green.
Cordax is thrown.
He's still chilling there. Arthur and CG Mirror.
I was sure he was gonna, the smile and everything, like. I was sure he was gonna leave him to die. I was sure Nerys was gonna die.
I mean, I feel like this was a scene that you could have had him do this and left it ambiguous of where Orm was going. Like, but him actually showing up shows, yes, Orm is redeeming himself.
Well, you know, I mean, if they gave Loki a redemption arc, I guess you gotta give Orm a redemption arc, right?
Yeah, I mean, but it also, I mean, it did a way of showing it that Orm was only acting on everything he had been raised to believe about Arthur and the surface, you know, by his father. Just that little bit of dialogue about where they were in the jungle.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, even like some villains got to be. You know, got to be sympathetic. You know, they can't just be villains.
I don't mind a sympathetic villain, but I still need evil villains,
right?
I mean, I feel like.
Well, I mean, in Throne of Atlantis, you know, and I believe the story that it comes from, Orm killed his mother.
Yes.
You know, that's pretty. That's just pretty damn evil.
That's.
There's not much room for redemption in that story.
Oh, Dr. Shin's trying.
I don't know. I think it's better late than never.
Yeah. I like what you can tell some of those Necros people are actually people in suits. They're not just CG.
Yeah, you need some of the practical effects, you know?
Yeah. This is cool. I like this. I would have had, when it hit his face, I would have had the guitar that doom, 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 doom. Oh, cool. He actually got called Aquaman. This is some James Wan work.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's James Wan or if he used a similar, or if he uses a similar second unit director on his films, because sometimes action is done by your second unit director for those purposes. But he's got a very very kinetic style with the camera.
I mean, you go back and you watch Furious 7 and some of the camera work in that movie. You know,
yeah.
Even Malignant. Malignant is like an example of James Wan taking everything he's learned from action and from horror and putting it in one movie. Baby looks too happy.
See, the one thing I never got in this though is how did he know about Junior? You know, I don't think that Black Manta knew about Junior.
Unless Kordax did.
I mean, but how did Kordax?
He sensed the bloodline through the magic.
I guess that makes the only thing that makes sense.
Yep, I got it. We can headcanon this shit.
Yeah.
See
now this possession angle makes a little more sense.
Yes.
Brother versus brother.
And that's how it started.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
but then right there, it's like, now you just made Black Manta worthless as a villain.
See, with the fact that the body of Kordax is right over there, it makes so much more sense for him to be possessed. And technically, he already has the blood.
Yep.
That he needed. In himself. I like that he just backhanded.
See, but if your entire possession angle is built up for this scene, you know, I mean, Black Manta's possessed, only to be brushed aside in the end. And then you got brother versus brother, but it's for like 2.5 minutes. Because Kordax is about to be free, and he's got his own body.
Yeah. So there's a lot of footage from the first movie in this. I've never checked out any of the extras on this either. This is Jason Momoa's big Oscar scene. I kind of bumps me they never gave Arthur his Atlantean name in these films.
Right. Orin.
Orin. O-R-N.
Orin. And, yeah.
Yeah. I like how it doesn't have a hand.
I mean, that's what I thought initially. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, you just gave him his trident, but then, like, immediately after.
I almost think that this should have been edited where he caught it like that, and then you just get a quick back where he says shit. And in the background, you just see Orm look to the side. And then when it cuts back, you see the trident flying. And it's Orm that defeats him. I don't know. I feel like it took too much of a pause for Orm to grab the trident, toss it to Arthur. Even though Arthur's the hero, whatever. I still think it would have been great to see Orm take down Kordax.
Yeah, he's kind of just standing there holding it. You know?
Yeah, like, and then Kordax could have been, like, saying something to Orin, like, you and me were the same, ruined by our brothers, blah, 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 whatever, you know? But this is a great scene, though. This really shows who David Cain's character is. See, I always, you know, my pitch for Aquaman 2 had, of course, the birth of Cowder, and then having David kill Aquaman's father, and the idea of raising the son of the man who killed your father, showing Arthur as a person.
Right. I mean, and it does show that scene here just shows the growth that Arthur's had from the beginning, because in the first he says you can't let him die, and he says ask the sea for forgiveness, and this guy was just about to kill his son, and he was going to help him out.
I like how Orm found him a trident. Poor Dr. Shane. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Storm and Topo. The cephalopod? Wasn't my idea.
Like that Topo's the one who grabs him, though.
It makes the most sense. See, like, how, like, bright this is. Just overly bright. I mean, that is kind of how it is around snow. Oh, it's his trident he got. He's like, whoa, calm down there, bed wetter. See, he said it again.
Again. Whole run in a kingdom thing.
I don't like how you thrall.
Brother. He said, don't call me brother, and he calls him brother.
It's their arc.
Yeah. At least the two movies have character arcs. Where they start in the first movie is the opposite of where they both end in the second movie.
Which is great that they didn't try to resolve it in one movie.
Which is the way a shared movie universe with multiple solo films should be.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly would love a third Aquaman movie just for Arthur and Orm. Like, you know, something like, if in the third movie it could be, you know, similar to the Thrones of Atlantis storyline, but this time it's that council that tries to overthrow Arthur and they want to invade the surface world. And then you have Orm showing up. And that's where the movie ends. It's over. There's nothing else. Just them standing on an iceberg.
Yep. UN welcoming Atlantis. This shot is very reminiscent of when Atlantis reveals itself in Superman, the animated series.
Yeah.
When the giant Atlantean ships come out of the ocean. Pretty sure it's Superman, the animated series, when that happens. Or is it Justice League?
It's Justice League.
Okay. Yeah, Superman, the animated series, is when they rescue Aquaman.
Yep.
That's right.
See, look, that looks like a reshoot.
Absolutely.
He looks pasted in there. He should have his crown on, and he should look his most regal.
Yeah. Not wearing his... Well, I mean, I guess he did sit on the throne in that and everything, too.
But see, like, right here, like... Look. See, I feel like this is where you could have got your Wonder Woman, your Bruce Wayne, your Superman, your Flash cameos. Just like Stephen Shin right there. They're just all watching.
Heck, or even you could have the Justice League and backing him up. This
makes no sense. Right here. You already have Orm right here. And he's eating the burger. Now this right here looks like part of that opening montage they just pasted at the end.
Yeah. Ugh. I hate that. I hate the way it ends. Like the whole speech about the world coming together, I mean, I think it's important. It's necessary. I think it works. But then to cap it off with the whole I am everything and I am Aquaman and whooping at the end.
Yeah. It should have been, I am the king of Atlantis, but you can call me Aquaman. You know? And then that was it.
And the I am Aquaman would have made a more of an impact if, like, the Justice League were there as just, like, a cameo. Like, the Justice League and the United Nations and this whole thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the Justice League helping, Superman's there with Aquaman and the reveal of Atlantis as well.
I would have really liked just a better. I like this movie. It's not as good as the first one, but I do enjoy it. We've talked through our nitpicks and stuff, and some of our theories on the edits and scenes being rearranged.
Yeah. And some of what has to clearly be reshoots.
Yeah. But yeah, I hate the way that ends with him doing the I am Aquaman. Wait! No, dude. Like, come on. Yeah, this should have been his most serious moment of like, he has this crown on. He's talking to them. And he says, I am Aquaman. Or he just said, I am the king of Atlantis. But you can call me Aquaman.
I honestly don't even think that I am the king of Atlantis. I am Aquaman. I don't think it was necessary.
No, it wasn't.
You know?
But the first one ends where he says, I am the Aquaman. You know? If he would have, and just kind of going back to that with like, call me Aquaman, where he's like, you know, he's already agreed to it, like that's his name that they're gonna call him.
Yeah. I mean I know why it was there and that's how they ended the first one. I mean they had the first and the second one open with a narration from him and end with that bit, but the first one was an ending of a narration. The second one was addressing the world. I don't think it quite needed to be the same way.
Yeah. There we go. More meeting.
Yep. We end the DCEU on Jason Momoa whooping and Orm eating a cockroach.
Poor Solomon, he just fell asleep.
I don't think WB really cared much about their IP.
I need to watch some of these special features.
It's just hard to feel like they did. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, we did it. We finished the DCEU.
Yep.
All right. Well, here we go. We'll end it there. Thanks for joining us, everybody. And remember, I am Tyler. Woo!
I'm James. Woo!
Look up in the sky.
We just want to say if you've enjoyed this podcast, please check out other podcasts on the Press Play Podcast Network.
If you are like Tyler and James and can't get enough Super Talk, check out these other podcasts. Digging for Kryptonite, Supergirl Radio, The Last Sons of Krypton, The Superboy Legacy Podcast, All-Star Superfans, Superman the Animated Podcast, The Aspiring Kryptonians, Always Hold On to Smallville, The Geek of Steel, and Truth, Justice, and Hope.
Remember to check out Krypton Report on all social media platforms. Go to linktree.com/KryptonReport. Find all of our information.
What's up, everybody? Chase Smith here from the Chase Smith Podcast and Cavs on the Break NBA Podcast.
And I'm JD, host of the Hyman Podcast, part of the Press Play Podcast Network. And we are super excited to bring you a brand new show starting next Tuesday, the Fanfare Podcast.
The Fanfare Podcast is all about your favorite movies and our favorite movies and the best moments in cinema. To help guide our discussion, each episode will feature one classic, and we will grade this movie using a report card-like scale A through F. We're going to be grading categories like acting, directing, cinematography, the score, and even the movie poster itself.
And when we're not featuring a movie report card, we'll be sharing our movie rankings, franchise deep dives, actor and director interviews, and everything in between. Movies have been a major part of our lives, and we cannot wait to share our thoughts with you.
Our premiere episode will drop Tuesday, June 27th, and JD and I will be reviewing Raiders of the Lost Ark in preparation of the release of Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny on June 30th, the fifth installment of the franchise.
Join us on the Fanfare Podcast, available on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Hello, Brooks here with the Books with Brooks monthly book club podcast. Here's how Books with Brooks works. We read one book a month, and then we talk about it. Classics like Stephen King's The Shining, debut novels like We Are the Brennans by Tracy Lang, and tons of other compelling, life-changing stories, one book and one month at a time. So come read along with us, and then listen in.
Here at Krypton Report, we believe in the power of podcasting, the power of speaking your voice and speaking something that comes from you. So here's a couple of podcasts you can check out with people sharing their voice.
I am Brian Peters, the creator and host of Gravely Amusing. For the past 30 years, I've studied the history of gods and monsters in pop culture and our world. As a student of theology and history, I've tried to understand evil and its impact on us. As a writer, I've tried to share this knowledge. As a comedian, I've tried to make people laugh as I do it. But as a man-child, I'm still that scared 7-year-old boy. Join me as I share the history of horror and sci-fi, discuss classic and modern pop culture, and share a creepy story or two. This podcast may scare you, it may horrify you, or it may leave you gravely amused. Listen to Gravely Amusing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and wherever podcasts are found. Follow us on Twitter at @gravely_amusing or on TikTok at @gravelyamusing.
Hi, I'm Taria Maynard, and this is my co-host, Jania Patrick. We're a couple of sisters in Central Ohio who created a podcast. Our podcast is called The Confessing Heretics.
The basic premise of the podcast right now, as we see it, is we're going to talk to you guys about our stories in religion, would you say?
Mm-hmm. This podcast is about sharing our truths, our religious traumas, and our histories. We'd love for you to join us on our journeys as we talk about our pasts and discover more about ourselves along the way. We will be featured on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Just look for The Confessing Heretics.
We have a $1 Patreon. Yes, I know everyone asks for money, but our $1 Patreon each month gets you commentary tracks for recent movies, DC movies. It gets you my Requel series where I pitch ideas about movie sequels, prequels, or whatever. It also gets special bonus episodes of whatever else some of the friends of the network chime in and drop. So check that out for $1 a month. That's all we ask. Keep it cheap, keep it simple, and help us keep going. Check out the link in the show notes or Patreon, Krypton Report.
Follow the link in the link tree or in the show notes below, patreon.com/KryptonReport.
This is Dan Jurgens, and if you want to have a good time, keep listening to the Krypton Report.